Good morning, everyone. Great to be with you once again this morning as we worship the Lord together. But we're going to be looking at God's Word this morning. Psalm 78, verses 1 to 8 is where we're going to be this morning. Psalm 78, verses 1 to 8. Taking a week off from Ecclesiastes to do something for Mother's Day, and we're thankful for all the mothers we have, and we also remember the ones that some of you may miss as well, but we cherish their memories, the memories we had with them. But mothers and fathers, they hear a lot of voices about what to teach their children, especially moms. I think of, you crack open a parenting book, or you watch a YouTube video, or you scroll on social media, and you will hear voices. Take your kids to the park, and maybe your mother, you talk to another mom, and you're probably going to hear another opinion of what you should be telling your kids, or what you should be teaching your kids. And so you hear about what you should feed them and what you should not feed them. You're told to teach them how to play sports well or get good grades or excel in the arts. Nowadays, we hear from voices from our culture telling us what to do with our kids. And so they teach them to show compassion and be open-minded and be inclusive and all these other things. A list could go on with what you're told to tell your kids. And so we have this constant bombardment of voices telling us, this is what you should teach your kids. And it can be overwhelming at times. But what does the Bible say about what to teach our children? Because as Christians, what's most important is not what fellow dad or mom says down the street. What's most important is not what the culture tells us, but what God tells us. And here in Psalm 78, what we see is that we are to tell them of the Lord. Psalm 78 is a really long psalm. We will not be tackling it this morning, but it recounts the history of Israel and their faithlessness amidst God's faithfulness. But before the psalmist gets to that history lesson, what he does is he talks about and emphasizing hearing, knowing, and telling future generations about the Lord. And really how that helps you to be faithful amidst the history of many people who are unfaithful. So listen to what he says, Psalm 78, starting in verse 1. Give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings from of old, things that we have heard and known that our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, but tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders that he has done. He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers to teach to their children, that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and arise and tell them to their children, so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and that they should not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation whose heart was not steadfast, whose spirit was not faithful to God. So if parents are to help their children to be faithful, they need to first, number one, pay attention to the truth. Pay attention to the truth. So in order to pass on knowledge, you have to first, of course, pay attention to the truth. So let's say someone is going to college to be a teacher and they sleep through every class. Are they most likely going to be a good teacher? Probably not, right? Because how could you, if you don't pay attention, how could you learn to teach other people things that you don't know? You could put the principle this way. In order to be a good teacher, you have to first be a good learner. And the same is true when it comes to telling others about the Lord. So step number one, pay attention to the truth. Notice the verse 1, give ear, O my people, to my teaching. He's saying, listen up. Right? Listen up to what I'm going to say. We need commands like this. We need commands to listen up because we're prone to not do so. And one reason is because we're distracted by competing voices. And the truth is that we hear these different voices, these different opinions and thoughts so come upon us all the time. But one reason we get distracted is because the voices seem to be talking all at once. You ever try to listen to what people are saying in a group setting where everyone's talking at the same time? What happens? You try to listen to all of them, but you don't get any information, right? You don't understand any of them. Something else happens is these voices distract us from the most important voice. Because if you're not attentional, you're in a crowded room and you're trying to have a conversation, and there's all these people talking, what sometimes happens? You get distracted. These voices pull you away from the conversation you're trying to have. And that's likewise, is the world is full of these voices that are seeking to distract us away from the one voice, the Word of God, that we are called to heed. And so to pay attention, we also need a desire to listen. Have you ever been talking to someone and you could tell that they weren't listening? You know, their mind was somewhere else or they're focused on something else, and you can tell that they don't want to listen. They don't have a desire to hear me. It wasn't important to them. Well, to pay attention to God's word, you have to have a desire to listen. Notice what he says there in verse 1. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. That word translated as incline is a word means to bend or turn or stretch out something towards something else. And so it's really showing that you must have a listening posture as you approach God's word. It takes humility. You can't act like I know it all to be a good listener. It takes a reverence for scripture as God's word to know it's important. And so I'm going to incline my ear to something that's important. Sadly, many are more inclined to what the culture says or what the so-called experts of the day say about parenting. But we are to be those who are incline our ears to the Word of God. When we are faced with a difficulty, we should say, what does the Bible say? When we're seeking guidance, our ears should be bent towards Scripture. A characteristic of a Christian is a bent ear that's bent towards the Word of God. What is your ear inclined towards? What the influencers of the world say, what culture says, what others say, or what God says? A writer once gave this illustration. He talks about how before refrigerators, people used ice houses to preserve their food. And so what they do, they have these large blocks of ice that were cut, and they would put sawdust on top of them, and they would put them into these ice houses. Well, one man lost a valuable watch in an ice house. And so he searched diligently for it. He was carefully raking through the sawdust, but he couldn't find it. His fellow workers also went in, and they couldn't find it either. A small boy heard about what happened, and so he slipped into the ice house around noon, and he soon emerged with the watch. And so the men were amazed, and they asked him, how did you find it? And how did you find it so quickly? And so the boy said, I closed the door, I laid down in the sawdust, and I kept very still, and then I heard the ticking of the watch. And that's the kind of focused attention that we are to have for the truth, where we let all the distractions fade away, and we incline our ear and to the sound of what does God say. I'm listening. I'm focused on what he says. Look at what the psalmist calls us to listen to. His teaching, the words of his mouth. And so, of course, the psalm is in the Word of God. Therefore, we know it is God's Word. It's Scripture. And so God is using Asaph, who's the psalmist, to write exactly what God wanted him to write. And so he's communicating God's very word to us. And so this is why we should give ear to this. We should incline our ears to this because it is God's word. This is not some teaching off to the side, detached from God's word, but this is scripture that's been written and read and passed on for generations. And so when we view this psalm as we should, as scripture, we really are seeing that God is speaking to us. It's really Him then saying, incline your ear, give ear to this. God has opened His mouth to the pages of Scripture. God has uttered His voice with this word literally means poured forth these words. God is not silent. It's evident, it's clear, it's here, it's graciously given. The question then is, what will we do with God's word? And so we who live in America, where we have just Scripture everywhere. I mean, you can go to a bookstore, you can find physical copies easily. You can go on your phone now, get an app, or go online, and it's right there. And so we realize our problem is not a lack of access for us. It's a lack of listening. And so we must pay attention to the truth before we can pass it on. And so this hearing is with the goal of knowing so that there can be a passing. So you must be willing to listen and learn in order to help others. I think about when you go onto a plane, they're given the safety instructions and they tell you to put on your oxygen mask first before you help someone else. And the same here is true with the Word of God. Is the best way we can help our children or just other people, it's for us to pay attention and know the Word of God. So because the more we know the Word of God, now we can pass on and we can help other people. We are to learn in order to teach, hear in order to speak. The truth should not die with us. It means we should pass it on. Parents, this means that in order to teach your kids rightly, you must be devoted to paying attention to the Word of God. And that means you're determined to be under the regular preaching and teaching of God's Word. There are some parents who neglect God's Word, who neglect the gathering of the church, and they wonder why their kids are so far from the Lord. But you cannot expect your children to have a knowledge and love of the Word of God if you don't. But no matter if you're a father or mother or not, you should pay attention to the truth. And this takes a certain consistency. You can't say, well, I did it once. I go to church, you know, once every couple of months. I'm good. It takes consistent, regular devotion to be immersed in the Word of God. Like, understand, too, that this takes discipline. You have to discipline yourself to read the Bible daily, don't you? You have to discipline yourself to be under the preaching of God's Word, to attend Bible studies, to meet with someone one-on-one, to do all these things. It does take a certain discipline. There's so many things that we pull you away, but it takes a certain discipline, but you ask God to help you to do that. And so it's not just in your own power, but you ask the Spirit and rely upon Him to grow you and this desire. And so in order to tell and help others, we have to first pay attention to the truth, but that leads secondly to then passing on the truth, to pass along the truth. If and how someone passes along something truly matters. I think of this, if you begin a new job and they day one hand you the keys and say, all right, get to work. You're not going to be set up for success, right? They didn't pass along any information like, okay, where's this? Where's that? How do I do this? But if you're trained well, they have passed on this knowledge, passed on this training, so that now you at least are on the road to success. Well, parents especially, we're called to pass on the truth and we're called to do it well. Notice verse 4. We will not hide them from their children, but tell to the coming generation. Do you notice this takes commitment? Do you notice the commitment in his words? We will not hide, but tell. There's a certain commitment to this, passing on the truth. because our natural tendency is to shy away from speaking it. The default is to stay quiet, but there has to be this intentionality that I am going to tell others. I am going to tell my children, I'm going to teach them the Word of God. Parents, you have to make a commitment to set aside time to speak God's Word to your children, or it won't happen regularly. There are so many different things vying for our attention and our time, and so we have to commit to this. Because there's so many things, right? There's sports games to go to and rooms to clean and diapers to change and meals to prepare and so many more things. If you let them, these things will consume your time. And so that's why it takes a commitment. I will not hide the truth from my kids. I'm going to tell them it. And so I'm going to commit to this. I'm going to set aside time. I'm going to do it. But what are we to tell them? Second half of verse 4 says this. We tell the glorious deeds of the Lord and His might and the wonders that He has done. Tell your children about God. Tell your children that they serve an all-powerful God who works wonders. Recount His glorious deeds. And so encourage them with His power. Motivate them with His wonders. Comfort them with His glory. So tell them of the wonders of the Exodus. Recount the glorious work of the cross. Tell them of the power and the might of God and the resurrection. Tell them how He saved you. Tell them about God. Help them to see their situation in light of who their God is. Teach them to trust that He is good and He's powerful. But why is it such a big deal that we do this? Verse 5 says, He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers to teach to their children. So we see one reason this is important, because it's commanded by God. This is not an option. If you're a parent, this is not an option. To teach your kids the Bible. It's a command. Many parents say, how does God want me to raise my children? And God is saying, teach them me. Tell them of the Lord. This is the Lord's will, that they would know God. And this means that when we are teaching our kids the Bible, we are obeying God. He delights in this. He established this testimony. He appointed a law, and this is really referring to God's word, right? The law is the commandments, but this is really God communicating to His people. And we see it was established and appointed. So what do we see? It's something set down. It's something set. It's something unchanging. So God's word is something you can know. It's unchanging. It's not questionable. It's not elusive. It's something given by God. It's set and stable. So this is not like some hidden knowledge. You have to search for this hidden knowledge to teach your kids. But this means also, parents, relief that you don't have to keep up with the latest developments like you do other things. I mean, think about all the latest developments, right? The new scientific research and this is bad for your kids now. I know we said it used to be good for your kids, but now it's bad. You got to keep up with that. You're chasing trends and things like that. But when it comes to God's word, it is established. Unchanging. There's not an updated version every couple years. I think about sometimes the textbooks. It's like a new version comes out. I got to get the new textbook. Well, not with the scriptures that you have. They're set. They're established. Take comfort in that fact that they're set. Keep going to it. But what is the goal of this? So it's commanded. But what is the goal? Like, why do we do this? Why is it so important? God commanded it, of course, but there's more. Verse 6. that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and rise and tell them to their children. And so we teach them so that they would know. And so we don't teach to get it over with. Okay, checked it off my list. I taught them. God said to teach them. That's it. It's not just to get it off the list. We teach our children to know God, to know His Word. Our goal is so that they would know it and that they would pass along to their children. What a wonderful picture of a godly family legacy if that was done. That generation after generation knew God and His Word and passed it along, and then they knew God's Word and passed it along, and on and on. There are some people, you ask them, you know, how did you come to learn how to cook that meal such a certain way? We ask them, how did you learn how to do that? How did you learn to build that thing in that way? And sometimes what you'll hear is, my dad taught me, but his dad taught him this too. And what a wonderful thing it would be if our children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren could say, I know God because my parents taught me, and their parents taught them, and their parents taught them. That's how I know God. Let's apply this for Mother's Day. Moms, you pass on a lot of things. And we praise God that you've passed on a lot of things. And so, you know, it may be you passed on your cooking knowledge or cleaning skill or knowledge how to dress and look beautifully, or you pass on practical wisdom, and we're thankful for that, and you pass on a hard work ethic, which we all need. But the most important thing you can pass on is a knowledge of God and His ways. That's the most important thing. Are you doing that? The purpose is that successive generations would know God, but it actually goes further than mere knowledge, because notice what verse 7 says, to set their hope in God. You see, God doesn't want merely intellectual people that are simply aware of Him. He wants people to trust Him deeply. And so, parents, your goal is not to say, my kid gets 100% on every Bible trivia. That is a great thing. But if that is your ultimate goal, it is amiss. Of course, we want them to have knowledge, but it can't just stop there. It can't just be like he can get 100% on a Bible quiz every single time. But we see it's this knowledge should lead to a hope in God. To set your hope in God is to set it in the right place where it's fixed and established on the Lord. It's this firm confidence that God is the answer, that God is my hope. Our goal is that kids would know God, but also on top of that they would hope in God. As they go through trials, as they grow up and they face their own trials, or even when they face death someday, they can have a firm confidence in the Lord that the Lord will carry them through, the Lord will be with them, that the Lord will bring them home. What a high and great goal to have in raising our children. I want my children to hope in God. And I hope that's your heart as well. So I want them to hope in God. When they know the Word and set their hope in God, they will be those who will not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. And in so doing, they become faithful. Where they're not like previous stubborn, rebellious generations like Israel had, who forgot God, who were unfaithful to Him. But they know God and they set their hope in Him, and that leads to a faithfulness in their life. You see, a faithful life comes from that. It comes from I know God, but also I set my hope in God. And that's going to be a faithful person. And so let me ask you, what will your children remember about what you passed along to them? What are they going to remember? There are lots of good things to pass on. There's lots of needed things that we pass on. They need to know how to do the basic things of life. And so we pass on the basic things of life. We should. But if all they remember is how to hit a baseball, how to save money, how to cook a good meal, if that is all they remembered, we have failed in our parenting as Christians. It's good to know how to do those things. It's needed in this life. It's important to know how to budget your money. It's important to know to work hard, to hit a baseball, to fix your car. But what's most important is to know God and hope in Him. Because when they're going through their hardest trials, they aren't going to be thinking, I'm so thankful they taught me how to hit a baseball. What are they going to say? I'm so glad my parents taught me to hope in God. When they're facing death, they're going to say, I'm so glad Dad taught me God. I'm so glad Mom taught me to look to Christ. That's what's going to be most important. And so that's what our heart as parents should be. This is the most important thing. I want them to know God and set their hope in Christ. Because that's what's going to matter for eternity. And so we can see from the Word of God that an essential responsibility of parents is to tell their children of the Lord. We know there are a lot of voices as parents, especially moms. You hear a lot of voices. Tell your kids this, teach them this. And you're shamed for a lot of things. Shamed if you feed them that. How dare you teach them to do that? You're told you need to do this or that, or you're going to traumatize them for life. What does God deem as the essential thing? Tell them of the Lord. And so that takes, I'm going to pay attention to the truth. I'm going to be under the Word of God, and I'm going to be immersed in the Word of God. And so I'm going to do what it takes. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to go to Bible studies. I'm going to talk to somebody and learn and grow. I'm going to be under the preaching of God's Word. I need to pay attention. How do I teach my kids if I don't know? And it takes a discipline to that, a God-empowered discipline, of course, but a discipline nonetheless. And so pay attention so that you can pass it, and it's so important. And maybe you say, hey, my kids are grown up. How does this apply to me? Well, guess what? If you know, you can still have opportunities to tell them of the Lord, can't you? Don't you? When you're interacting with them, you can encourage them with truth. You know, as they're struggling and they're seeking help, give them guidance using the Word of God. There's still opportunities to tell your kids the Word of God. As we apply this text for Mother's Day, we think specifically of mothers. We should first be thankful for your mother if she told you of the Lord. There are many good examples of these kinds of mothers represented in our church family, and praise God. We should be grateful that our mothers loved the Lord and taught us to love Him. And so be thankful for your mother. Thank her. You know, if she's still around, thank her. Even if she's not, thank the Lord that He gave you a mother like that. But I know that there's also some people in this room who didn't have a mother like that who taught you of the Lord. You can be still thankful for your mother, of course, and you should. But also realize this, that God graciously used other people to tell you of Him. And that is His mercy and His grace towards you. that in his providence, he raised up other people to speak of him so that you would know him and set your hope in him. And this really reminds us that we're all called to tell others of the Lord. I mean, you look throughout the scriptures and you see that we are to be encouraging one another, speaking the truth in love, and teaching as we can God's word with other people. Most of you will be informally, but teaching people and encourage them. And it shows us that we're all called to this telling responsibility. Because it reminds us we each could play a part in someone else's life, that we could make an impact on them to set their hope in God. So whether it be, you know, a coworker or someone that you meet, or someone in the community, that you could play a part in telling them of the Lord, that you could play a part in leading them to hope in God. And that's a privilege. That's an honor. So this morning, do you tell others of the Lord? Seek to do this more and more, because realize it's so important. This is what the Bible is emphasizing. Tell it. Tell of the Lord to other people. You know, there are many things that will help people right now. There's lots of things that will help people right now. But telling them of the Lord not only helps them right now, it helps them into eternity. It impacts them into eternity. Because it helps them for eternity, because in Christ, as they learn of Christ, they learn that in him, I have an everlasting hope that is sure. You see, the only reason why we can set our hope in God is because of the hope that has been secured for us through Jesus Christ. Where we are reminded that we were sinners, the Bible says that we were without hope in this world before Christ. We all face condemnation for our sin against the holy, perfect, righteous Creator God. And yet, in love and mercy, Christ was sent to give us hope. He lived the sinless life. He died for our sins and he rose again. And now through faith in him, we're forgiven. We have eternal life. We now have a sure hope in Jesus, because of Jesus. Scripture tells us in 1 Peter 1:3, according to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So the reason I can hope in God is because Christ has brought me hope. That he has secured the way for me to be forgiven, be made right with God, stand righteous in his sight, to have a home in heaven, and to have all of the spiritual blessings are in Christ, because of Christ. And so it's really because of Christ I can set my hope in him. I can have a confident hope, and I can have a trust in him. And so knowing this, how could we not open our mouths and declare this good news? Knowing the glorious truths of the Bible, knowing the glorious realities that the gospel teaches us and tells us and promises to us, how can we hide it from others? How can we hide this from our children? Because we truly have experienced the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might, the wonders that he has done. And so may we always remember and speak about the power of our rock, the Most High God, our Redeemer. May we steadfastly be faithful to him. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for your word. Thankful for you speaking to us through your words, so that we could know you, Lord. But more than that, so that we could hope in you. And so I pray and thank you for that blessing, that grace. But I pray also that we would tell others, that we would tell our children, that we would tell others, our coworkers, or people that we know, or people that we meet, that we would tell them of you and the hope that we have through Christ. And I pray that you would just motivate us to do that, to be faithful to you. But Lord, we also are reminded and thankful for the mothers in our lives, the mothers who did tell us of you. And we're so grateful for those who did that. But Lord, even if they didn't, we're grateful for the others who rose up, that you rose up to speak about you, to speak about Christ and the hope that he gives us. We're just so grateful this morning for your great grace towards us. And I pray that we would just be motivated by your love to go and be faithful to you and hope in you. In Christ's name, amen.
Thank you so much for listening. We pray that you were encouraged by the sermon today. This sermon was preached at First Baptist Church of Clearfield, Pennsylvania. If you'd like more information about our church, you can visit our website at fbcclearfield.com. May God grant you grace and peace as you look to Him today.